Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so new news about the Lieutenant Dan, the dude who rode out the Hurricane Milton on his boat in Florida. He was apparently, and this is new, he was apparently arrested in Tampa. Oh my goodness. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. The guy known as Lieutenant Dan, a.k.a. Joseph Malinowski, was arrested after his TikTok post because he, for trespassing, failure to appear on previous charges of having an unregistered vehicle and no valid driver's license. They said he rejected police officials when he was staying in his boat, so he apparently does not have an attorney who can speak on his behalf, so he is in the pokey. Well, oh boy. You know, if this can't all be hits, right? Let's see this. Here, I want to grab this one. Please. This is a Florida man. Hold up. It was in Daytona Beach. Melvin Weaver, 64, Florida man who faces charges of aggravated battery and arson. The article says that he was arrested last week after police say he burned down his house screaming about vampires. I'm right. Yeah, so apparently it started when his wife wanted to have him committed. They wanted to Baker Act him. And when police arrived at 2, they said police determined he could not be involuntarily committed under the Baker Act. But by 7, he grew angry, began hitting his wife, breaking open windows with his cane. And he said, "The vampires are going to defend themselves," he shouted, according to the arrest report. Then he set fire to the home by throwing ceiling insulation onto the stove. The wife escaped. He grabbed a kitchen knife, began knocking on neighbors' doors, saying that his house was on fire and his wife was inside. He was arrested at the scene. He's sick and he takes pain medication, but the house was completely destroyed in the fire. Nothing, no word on the vampires, though. I would imagine, wouldn't they perish in the fire? I mean, is that sun? Is it 2 p.m., 1 p.m.? So maybe the dwelling burned down and then they were exposed to the sun and then they vanished. I don't know. Like, clearly he's like mental. I don't know. This Florida woman used her child to help steal a barista machine and a vacuum cleaner from Target. It ended up coming to $1,111. And she was able to convince 23-year-old Elizabeth Novak. She was able to convince a child under the age of 10 to carry it out of the store. Got a little kid to do her grand theft. You're kidding me. So, yeah, she is totally in jail. And not only does she get charged with grand theft, but one count of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's not shocking. Goodness. A $5,000 hit gone wrong. Can I just say, I don't believe in like taking out contracts on people, but $5,000 does seem low. A Florida man hired an undercover agent as a hitman for $5,000. And apparently it did not go that way. 58-year-old Makram Cashman of Boynton Beach admitted to meeting with an undercover agent. He wanted $5,000 to kill the victim. That's what he offered. And the plot was foiled. The victim wasn't harmed. And this Cashman dude was arrested. Now faces up to a decade in prison. He is sentenced. He'll be sentenced in January. So, good heavens. That's not the way to do it. Really not the... No.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
The Tale of Two Campaigns. So McDonald's, I thought the way McDonald's handled this was super classy. I know. They released a statement. This was yesterday. And this was actually pretty amazing. I don't know whoever decided to write this for McDonald's needs a raise. They wrote, quote, earlier today, former President Trump visited a McDonald's restaurant in Pennsylvania following a request made to our local franchisee. As we've seen, our brand has been a fixture of conversation in this election cycle. While we've not sought this, it's a testament to how much McDonald's resonates with so many Americans. This is brilliant. I'm going to read this whole because it's actually genius. So buckle up. So they said, they go, McDonald's does not endorse candidates for elected office, and that remains true in this race for the next president. We are not red or blue. We are golden. Though we are not a political brand, we've been proud to hear former President Trump's love for McDonald's and Vice President Harris's fond memories of working under the arches. Wink, wink. While we and our franchisees don't have records for all positions dating back to the early 80s, what makes 1 in 8 so powerful is the shared experiences so many Americans have had. They said that when owner-operator Derek G. Giacomantonio was approached by local law enforcement about the president's desire to visit a Pennsylvania restaurant, he was proud to highlight how he and his team serve their local community, make delicious food. And they said, learning of his, including the fries, they said, learning of his request, they approached it through the lens of one of our core values. We open our doors to everyone. And they said, it's with that same approach that franchisees have invited Vice President Harrison Walz to their, you know, their restaurant. And they said that they want to provide, you know, meaningful pathways, blah, blah, blah. And they said that their strength comes down to their people, that it's been a hard-earned effort. And they said, thank you for everything you do for our brand, for serving our customers, talking to their people and communities with great pride, for upholding our core values and opening our doors to all. That is valedictorian in marketing. That is amazing because it's, I mean, they didn't. I think it's kind of because the 1 in 8 is apparently 1 in 8 U.S. citizens have worked at McDonald's at some point. And so the fact that they kind of like piggybacked off of that and made that like a whole thing is actually quite brilliant. It's refreshing to see a company make a smart move in terms of PR, isn't it? Wow. Kane, I'd forgotten what that looked like. I know. I mean, I don't even know what to say. When I first saw their statement, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to read this. And I opened it because someone had just like reposted something from McDonald's. So the first time I saw it, there was no context with it. And then a later tweet that I saw, they had context with it. But I opened the first one and I made the image bigger from X. And I was not expecting that, honestly. I wasn't expecting them to just jump on their franchisee, but I was expecting them to go, oh, we had nothing to do with that, blah, 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 blah. They didn't say any of that. I mean... And they said they also said they invited Harrison Walz. Y'all know that they are not going to go and do this. You know this. You know they're not going to go to McDonald's and do a fry experiment. Kane, is she going to show up?
After you see that crowd that lined up outside of that McDonald's, blocks and blocks around the place, there's no way that they'd be able to turn out that many bodies. So,
that's yeah. What, I like how Trump was like, hey, let's give him extra salt. Someone was over the moon because he ordered a 6-piece nug. And he got 7 nugs, 7 of them little tendies. He got 7 out of a 6-piece. And so he's like, Trump gave me 7-piece nug and I ordered 6. He's like, yes, you know, it was hysterical. But it's so funny. I mean, people talked about this all day yesterday. My kids were sending me this stuff. It's funny. And he's like, got the apron on. He's waving, you know, he's like doing the fries. And can you imagine like the dude who's teaching him to do this? Like, imagine you're that dude and you're teaching the former president, maybe next president of the United States, salt fries. Audio soundbite 15, check it.
You gotta hit that timer, bring that one up. I'm gonna take care of these.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick.
Right there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Put that right far, right, hang it right up there.
Yeah.
And then you want to do the salt over here?
Yeah.
I did these ones already. They're good. You just got to do that one right there. So grab that.
Can you give them extra salt?
No. Yep. Oh, yep. Good.
Oh, I love it. There. Yeah. Put that salt on there, Trump. Put it on there.
Right here. Right. Put it in there and just give them a twirl that way.
Get that salt.
Okay. Yep. Where's that little thing?
I love it. That's hysterical. By the way, that dude is like so chill, teaching the former president. I love it because there's no shame in work. There's no shame in honest work. None. And It was just funny. I mean, it looks like there was a picture of him that I retweeted because I said it looks like a Renaissance painting. It really does. Where he's leaning out of the drive-through window, waving. It looks like something Norman Rockwell would have put up. Like he would have painted. Norman Rockwell would have painted it. And I'm not saying that because you guys know I don't fawn over political candidates. But it was just such a collision of perfect variables that I don't know how else to put it. He's kind of like the Jeremy Clarkson of politics, isn't he?
Yeah, actually.
Very much. They're very similar in that way. And this dude's like teaching him how to do this. And the president, and he was like very, you know, interested in watching. And I love the people who came up because obviously, you know, I would say that they're probably first generation Americans. And they come up and they're like, oh, you know, Mr. President. And they're and the president of the United States is leading out. He's just talking to him. Former president talking to him through the drive-thru. I mean, I can't think of anything else that is like so America than that, right? It's so ridiculous. I mean, it's so American. This is Juan showing you on the simulcast the picture I'm talking about. I mean, it looks like it. Can I just be real? It looks like it's fake, but it's not. Like, who got that photo? Was that, I don't know if it was an AP photo or was it like somebody there getting food? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know who got it. Did he? Did he tweet it out? It's just so good. So I don't know. I mean, I think it looks like a Renaissance painting. It looks like he's like a Norman Rockwell and Renaissance. They get together and they make this. It's good. I want to talk more about this because you could break this down for a poli-sci class, this whole thing. We can just hang out every afternoon thanks to companies like Kel-Tec. The P15, if you have not checked it out, you need to. I had somebody asking me about my favorite micro-compact carry, and Kel-Tec invented the micro-compact pistol category, and a friend of mine who's getting their first EDC, right, their first carry, they wanted something super concealable. I was like, you need to check out the P15 because you have the metal version with the walnut wood grip panels, and then you have the polymer version with the gator grip texture, and it comes with two standard capacity magazines, the standard 15-round minimal pinky extension, flush fit double stack mag for 12 rounds for ultra concealability. So you have some options. It is literally the latest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. 1.27 inches wide. You got a 4-inch barrel. You're not losing stopping power. And you're also not losing any sort of accuracy either. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. And it's compact, ideal for concealed carry self-defense. And quality made right here in the U.S. of A. It's game-changing innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh my goodness, Iron Maiden. Now, okay, this is going to kickstart the threes. Paul Di'Anno, dead at 66 years old. He had been left wheelchair-bound as he battled health issues. He's been in a wheelchair since 2020, former singer. His family announced this just a little bit ago today. He fronted two albums, Iron Maiden in 1980, Killers in 81, then he was replaced by Bruce Dickinson. So, and he had been in a wheelchair, but dang, that's 66 years old. What?
I'm getting old.
No.
I listened to Iron Maiden all the time when I was younger.
I think a lot of people listen to Iron Maiden.
I know. It just puts it in perspective. I'm getting old.
Telling you what. You need to have more fries. Right? Telling you. Let's see. Apparently, Gen Z likes to stay home so much, and it's not because of inflation. It's because they hate people because they were raised by Gen X is why. Honestly. They said that they're homebodies. Like all of these Gen Z, they're like, a recent study found that a lot of Americans spend time at home, 10% more than the same groups did, you know, 20 years ago. They said it's been a dramatic shift. Almost every part of our lives now is more likely to take place at home. Like apparently there's like a homebody generation who doesn't even do happy hour. I've never done happy hour though. And I'm baby Gen X. I've never done happy hour. So I don't, you know. They said bars are a source of social anxiety. I just don't like dealing with people. No, like you guys I like. But you know what I mean? Like people don't know. I hate making small talk. Like my nightmare is when someone's like, hey, let's go eat. We're going to bring our friends that you've never met. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to sit there at the table and make them. I can't. Anyway, they will do dinner parties at a home. That's interesting, right? Okay, we got to get to this casket falling out of the car. A funeral home in Poland apologizes because a corpse just straight up fell out of a hearse and onto traffic. This is horrible. This actually happened. It was in Poland, and they said that It was a funeral home. They had to apologize because of it. And I'm rejecting all your stupid cookies. They said that it's called Hades Funeral Service. Of course it is. They were transporting the body when the technical error made it fall into the road. So I can't, I mean, they've got extensive tunnels underneath everything. Yaz Sinwar was killed. And there's a video of him. He's apparently been a big obstacle in terms of any kind of negotiation to release the hostages. You got, what, how many, like 97 hostages still? You know, you got Americans that are still being held by Hamas also. And now you have Sinwar, who was killed. There's this video where he was seen going through the tunnels underneath Gaza, and Juan's preparing it for you. And she's like showing, you can see his wife coming through, and I'm watching a video on my screen. His wife comes through the tunnels. I can see this bag. The bag looks like I don't know. It looks like a very expensive bag. It looks like a Birkin. And it is a Birkin. That's a Birkin. And I love these people that are like, how dare you lie about this? Look, women know stuff. Even if we can't afford it, we know certain things. This chonk is carrying a $32,000 bag through the tunnels underneath Gaza. Now, it's a Hermes bag. And I will never purchase a Hermes bag because it is ridiculous to buy. First off, I think everyone's like, oh, Gazans are starving. Maybe you could get this chonk who could barely squeeze through these tunnels carrying a $32,000 Texan included bag to maybe give up some of the food off her plate for people in Gaza. Maybe she could sell her swanky bag and use the profits from that to put food on the plates of people in Gaza. Maybe they could not steal all the food from the people in Gaza that everyone else gives them. But, you know, that would be changing decades of behavior that they've demonstrated since their inception. So this bag, and it is a very expensive bag. It is an Hermes. It is a Birkin. It's named after actress Jane Birkin, and there's like a story behind it. But anyway, the thing is that it's a $32,000 bag. Here's the other thing. You can't just walk into a Hermes store and get it. I have never walked into a Hermes store. I know these things because I am fascinated with human behavior and the consumption that is a tell on someone's psychology. There are people who do. And if you can and you want to, you do your money how you do. I'm very Ayn Rand about it. Do whatever you're going to do with your money. There are people, I would say, if you're hell-bent on purchasing one and you've got the funds to do it, buy it from a dealer, an independent dealer. Do it secondhand. It's like a big finger in the air, and it's allowed. Anyway, so you can't just walk into the store and buy one of these bags. The way it is that you have to spend, if that is like $32,000, you have to spend the equivalent of like $32,000 on other stuff in their store before you are invited to buy the bag. Out of spite, I would never do that. If I were a caprillionaire, out of spite, I couldn't do it. To walk into the store and be like, spend that much. And you have to develop a relationship with the salespeople over years. It is like a big thing. I don't even know what all they have at Hermes. I know that they have the scarves and they have like plates and stuff, and blankets. What the hell would you spend $32,000 on at Hermes? What would you spend that much money on to secure an invitation to purchase a bag? So Sinwar's wife may have walked up into Hermes. Somebody had a relationship that she benefited from, because you know this chonk is not going and buying it from an independent dealer secondhand, y'all. You know she isn't. Come on. They got to have the brand. You know this. They got to have a brand new, not just new for her. It has to be brand new. Come on. I'd be shocked if that wasn't like an equally fancy scarf on, like if it wasn't like specifically made by Hermes, her head covering, or her shoes or whatever else she was. I mean, that could not be the only thing. If she's going to carry that around, she's got other stuff too that you're just not seeing in the video, because you don't just do that. People don't even know unless you pay attention to this stuff or you read about celebrity or you're fascinated with human behavior, which I am. And you know this, you see this stuff. I had a friend explain this to me because I was telling her, because her mom's like real bougie. And I was saying, okay, so explain, do you like have to be invited to, you develop a relationship with it? And you have to be, she's like, yeah, you have to go and spend all this money and you have to get like their plates or their scarves or this or the belts or the tie, something like that before you, because they don't have them sitting out. You can't just, they're not on shelves. And so you're invited to buy something. And then it may not even be like the whatever color you want. It's whatever they want to invite you to have. And then you still pay the full price for it. Is that not the dumbest thing ever? How does that work? I guess on some people, that kind of exclusion works on them, right? Like they have to show that they're good enough and they have to impress some damn sales associate at a retailer. I don't get it. What was the saying that people spend way too much time and way too much money impressing people that they don't like? Sounds like bathroom wisdom, right? Bathroom wall wisdom. But I could not get over. So this is pretty insane. This chick walking. And then I have there's all these apologists that are trying to say, that's not, yes, it is. I'm going to tell you what, there's some fashionistas out there that can spot a Birkin from a mile away and they got it, like they got her dead to rights. I mean, she doesn't make it difficult. I mean, she can barely fit through the tunnels. So she has to pull her bag like, and she basically holds it right up for the camera because she's so chonky. She can't fit through their little tunnel. But that's, does it tell you everything that you need to know about Hamas? The tunnels for not for thee, but for we, right? Does it tell you everything that you need to know about Hamas? Now, the ongoing, I mean, well, I don't know what is going to end up happening with regard to Lebanon. They've got to create, I mean, basically a zone now that's going to, all of this could be solved if, I don't know, if Iran would just stop through its proxies attacking Israel, but they're not going to do it. So they got to be able to defend themselves. But man, I don't want to hear another damn thing about, oh, well, Gazans are, their government's, the government is the government that the Gazans elected. And this is the situation that the government they elected created. This is what you voted for. This is what you chose. And in Iran, until people, you know, rise up, and we've seen them try to do that during the Green Revolution, I don't know how much is going to change, if anything. We'll talk more about that with Stephen Yates here coming up. But that's pretty amazing stuff.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.